But do you think that Burnaby would have been, had better leaders or been more aware of the problem?
Oh, sure. I think every district suffers from that. That we always want to get better leadership, no matter what organization, and even in a construction job or anywhere, they're trying to get the best of the leadership. And that is important to see that the job is done properly and that everything is going smoothly. And that has always been the struggle, and that was very, very difficult at the beginning of the Depression to get proper leadership for the unemployed workers' organizations, or any organization of the workers, for that matter. And well, you say Tim Buck and all those fellows, they went to jail, you know, and they put them in jail, and we were fighting for their release all along. Anybody that will become too active, they jail them. They got a trumped-up charge, and they'd get them out of the way if they became too dangerous, in other words. Little insignificant local leaders that were members of the community and well-respected in the community, they didn't touch them too much because they figured, well, that's something on the on too many toes, so they just kind of laid off, although in some cases they did. I remember one time we went to a grocery store down at Edmonds and Kingsway, and we told the fellow, and said, "Now we're going to raid your store." And that was when we were after more relief, and so there was a starvation budget later on. And so we're going to raid your store, we're out for more relief, we've got to have it. And so we're going to raid your store, but we're not going to do it for the purpose of hurting you. We're going to try and help you, because you're in on it too, the same as we are. If we get more relief, you're going to sell more goods. So he said, "Yeah, I understand that." You know, I said, "We're just warning you in advance."
Sure.
We raided the store. I remember that. It was funny. It was about 30 or 40, I guess, went in there. And of course, grabbing this, grabbing that, you know, and old Tommy Douglas. he goes out with a big roll of sausage hanging down, you know. Another guy with a hammer. He was funny. And they picked up Tommy, sent him to Ocala for 30 days. But he was well treated. We used to take him down, the cigarettes and all that kind of. And they just made an example of him, you see. You know, they had to do something. So the cops say, made an example. We didn't put up any fight or anything. Just, okay, boys. So they had trial, and gee, the blooming place was packed when they had the trial. You know, employed a big demonstration outside. Oh, yeah. I guess the powers that be were kind of cheeky about that. But it would smash up the hall. So, but anyway, Tommy was made the goat. So he didn't mind. I got nothing to lose. 30 days, what the heck? You know, and as a result of that, we got more relief. And when we got more relief, we went back to the grocery and said, "How are you doing, pal? Didn't we do you a good turn?" "Yeah, you did all right." So he only lost about maybe $10 worth of stuff. He got that back tenfold, so no harm done.
So you had quite a few successful fights.
Oh, yeah. We were always... Well, it was good for us, you know. It was good for us because we had a good education there. Good education now to go through an experience like that, you know. Like the Dirty 30. It was compelling people to get together for a common purpose, regardless of their petty quarrels, petty differences, and that. We have to have unity. We've got to have unity, so never mind about these petty things. Let's get together on a major goal. We either starve or we survive, isn't it? That's the way it is. That's as simple as that. So if you're going to quarrel about petty things, you're darn well going to starve. We've got to get unity, and that was what we preached all the way down the line. Never mind about petty things. Mrs. Brown was taken advantage of by Mrs. Smith and all this nonsense. We wouldn't allow any of that nonsense. We were together for survival. That was what it amounted to in the Dirty 30s, or the Hungry 30s, or whatever you want to call it. That was the issue, and we didn't let too many things get in our way to try and keep unity. And we did a lot of good work. We overcame the problem of the landlords throwing people out in the street and all this sort of thing. You know, it wasn't their fault that they were unemployed. It wasn't the landlord's fault either. It was the fault of the rotten system that we had. That was the major, you might say, the major clash with capitalism. That was the major confrontation with capitalism in Canada. And now we're having another one.
Well, how did the other people in the community, the people who weren't part of the unemployed workers' organizations, react to your group?
Some of them organized against us. Some did form little groups. The right wingers, some of them did. Some of the more prosperous brothers, they looked down on the unemployed. See, and they used to organize little groups, but they never got to any. And they never accomplished very much. They never developed a big organization or anything like that. Because most of the people, although they didn't take an active part maybe in the unemployed movement, because they were working and the unemployed was something else, but they were sympathetic. And we used to get quite a lot of support from workers who were working, you know. Commit themselves 25 cents a month. And we'd say, well, that's nothing. But it was a lot in those days, you see. And a lot of the unemployed workers, working people, contributed and helped the movement. We used to send delegates across Canada, and sometimes they got enough money to be able to, they didn't have to ride the rods, but most of the unemployed, when they went across Canada on delegation, that rode the rods. There was no other way, there was no money, so they rode the rods.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't go. I didn't go to Eastern Canada. No. But thousands did, and they used to get. Police used to chase them off every here and there, and they'd get back on again. I remember that here in Burnaby, they would cut the power off at the poles, you know, and the one employee didn't have any power. So they used to borrow my climbing tools. I have a set of climbing tools, and they climbed the pole that night, tied it again. Then it's like sometimes they started cutting it off at the house, you know. It was not so easy then. But that happened lots of times. Yeah, they cut the power off and the boys would turn it on again that night. Power. There's no money to pay the light bill. No. So what are you going to do? Nobody likes to be in darkness when we got electricity. There's no reason why it should be. It was not the fault of the unemployed that this depression came about. It was the fault of the capitalist system not being able to provide for its people. That was as simple as that. And. I look back on it now, and I think, well, 10 years there, but it was worthwhile, you know, it was worthwhile for me, because I gained a lot of experience, and I began to realize how people had to live. I never experienced it before. I was always had a good job and good pay, because I was skilled, but the people were unskilled. And people that were starting to get down and out, and then I found out one of them myself, and that hurt, you know. So I said, well, gee, I got to do something about this. I got to get in with my fellow workers and organize for my own survival. It's as simple as that. It's not a matter of whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. It's a matter of being forced to do something. When you got your back to the wall there, you're going to fight. You got to do something about it. You're not going to lie down and die. Let them push you around if you can do anything about it. We realized that through organization, they couldn't push us around to any great extent. They did push us around, but not to any great extent because we were there to fight against them. If there was anybody that was evicted from a house, we can put 1,000 people around that house the next morning. Oh, yeah.